The Supreme Personality of God has said, O Uddhava, a saintly person is merciful and never injures others. Even if others are aggressive, he is tolerant and forgiving toward all living entities. His strength and meaning in life come from the truth itself. He is free from all envy and jealousy, and his mind is equal in material happiness and distress. Thus, he dedicates his time to work for the welfare of all others. His intelligence is never bewildered by material desires, and he has controlled his senses. His behavior is always pleasing, never harsh, and always exemplary. And he is free from possessiveness. He never endeavors in ordinary worldly activities, and he strictly controls his eating. He therefore always remains peaceful and steady. A saintly person is thoughtful and accepts me as his only shelter. Such a person is very cautious in the execution of his duties and is never subject to superficial transformations because he is steady and noble even in a distressing situation. He has conquered over the six material qualities, namely hunger, thirst, lamentation, illusion, old age and death. He is free from all desire for prestige and offers honor to others. He is expert in reviving the Krishna consciousness of others and therefore never cheats anyone. Rather, he is a well-wishing friend to all, being most merciful. Such a saintly person must be considered the most learned man. He perfectly understands that the ordinary religious duties prescribed by me in various Vedic scriptures possesses favorable qualities that purify the performers, and he knows that neglect of such duty constitutes a discrepancy in one's life. Having taken complete shelter at my lotus feet, however, a saintly person ultimately renounces such ordinary religious duties and worships me alone. He is thus considered to be the best among all living entities. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. So verses 29 to 31 describe 28 qualities of a saintly person, and the verse 32 explains the highest perfection of life. According to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the 17th quality, Mat Sarana, or taking complete shelter of Lord Krishna, is the most important, and the other 27 qualities automatically appear in one who has become a pure devotee of the Lord. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Jasyasti Bhaktir Bhagavatya Kinchana Sarvai Gunaistatra Samasate Suraha, the 28 saintly qualities may be described as follows. Kripalu, a devotee cannot tolerate seeing the world merged in ignorance and suffering the whiplashes of Maya. Therefore, he busily engages in distributing Krishna consciousness and is called Kripalu or merciful. Akrota Druha, even if someone is offensive toward a devotee does not become offensive in return. Indeed, he never acts against the interest of any living entity. One may argue that great Vaishnava kings such as Maharaj Yudhishthira and Parikshit Maharaj executed many criminals. However, when justice is properly administered by the state, sinful, destructive persons actually benefit from their punishment, because they become freed from the severe karmic reactions to their illicit activities. A Vaishnava ruler gives punishment not out of envy or malice, but in faithful obedience of laws of God. The Mayavadi philosophers who want to kill God by imagining that he does not exist are certainly kritadroha, or most injurious to themselves and others. The impersonalist imagines that he himself is supreme and thus creates a most dangerous situation for himself and his followers. Similarly, the karmis who are dedicated
to material sense gratification are also killers of the self, because by their absorption in material consciousness, they lose all chance of experiencing the absolute truth and the truth of their own self. Therefore, all living entities who come under the control of materialistic regulations and duties are unnecessarily harassing themselves and others. And a pure Vaishnava feels great compassion and concern for them. A devotee never uses his mind, body or words to perform any act harmful to the welfare of any living entity. Titikshu, a devotee forgives and forgets any offense against himself. A Vaishnava is personally detached from his material body, which is made of pus, stool, blood and so on. Therefore, the devotee is able to overlook the obnoxious behavior he sometimes meets with in the course of preaching work and always deals with the people as a perfect gentleman. A Vaishnava loudly chants the holy name of the Lord and tolerates and forgives those fallen conditioned souls who are unable to reciprocate properly with a pure devotee. Satyasara. A devotee always remembers that he is the eternal servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is omniscient, the reservoir of all pleasure, and the ultimate enjoyer of all activities. By avoiding activities outside devotional service, a devotee remains fixed in the truth, does not uselessly waste time, and thus becomes bold, powerful, and steady. Okay, we'll just discuss a little bit from here, then we go to the next point. So in first paragraph, Srila Prabhupada explaining about these verses, he has divided these verses in two portions. From 29 to 31 describes 28 qualities of saintly persons. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Satya Goswami Thakur Prabhupada has pointed out that out of these 28 qualities, or as we know, the 26 qualities of Vaishnava souls explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So there are so many qualities. Qualities like is merciful, is truthful, not envious. All kinds of so many good qualities are there. But one thing we should understand. We should not think somebody has all these good qualities means he's a very great personality, not necessarily. Because somebody could have all these good qualities, but is not surrendered to Krishna, then all these good qualities are useless. That's why they say, we preach people to be vegetarian, but does not mean vegetarian means he'll go back to Godhead. Then all the goats will go back to Godhead, but they're all vegetarian. So many good qualities mentioned here, they will be seen with many normal people. As we see, there are many, many good qualities. We see in great demons also. But in spite of those good qualities, they are known as demons. For example, all these great demons like Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, Kamsa, like Hiranyakashipu, he is great jnani. If you will hear from Srimad Bhagavatam, when Hiranyaksha was killed by Varahadev, then Hiranyakashipu is pacifying all his family members. Oh, why are you crying and lamenting? We are not this body, we are all spirit soul. We are just coming here, then again will be dispersed, just like the people, they come to restaurant to eat, then again they go here and there. Three modes of material, everything explained in Bhagavad Gita, he is quoting there. His great jnani, scholarly personality, but why he is a demon? So he knows all the verses of Bhagavad Gita, except Sarvadharman Parityajya Mahamekam Saranam Vraja. That does not click to him. So we have to be very, very careful to see. Sometimes we will see within somebody all these good qualities, then they praise him. Oh, he's such a great personality. He's such a great jnani. A great tapasya, great yogi. Who can be greater yogi or tapasya than Hiranyakashipu? standing in one toe for thousands of years. When Brahma came, he glorified him. Oh, Hiranyakashipu, the way you are performing this austerity, nobody has done till today. Even Bhrigu, King Bhrigu Rishis, they have not done, and in future nobody can do. Just imagine how great austerity he was performing, how great yogi he was. Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, maybe Dhyana, Dharana, Samadhi did not have that. But all other things he had. They have a lot of sense control also. The demons, they have a lot of sense control. Unless you are control your senses, you can't do yoga tapasya like that. The point I am trying to make, in spite of all these good qualities, Ravana was so powerful personality that Ramayana says when Ramchandra wanted to cross the ocean, he had to do some yajna. He has to invite Ravan to do that yajna. Ravan came to do that yajna. Powerful. They are all children of great saintly personalities. But in spite of that, harava abhaktasya kutamahatguna manarathe nasati dhavati bhai. Prabhupada has quoted this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. That jasyasti bhakti bhagavatya kinchane sarvai gunahi satra samasate surah. If somebody has akinchana, niskanchana, devotion, bhakti unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all the good qualities will manifest from that. See, all the good qualities that manifest within devotee and all the good qualities, so-called good qualities that manifest within the non-devotees, the two different things. All the good qualities, somewhere in Prabhupada is explained very nicely, that good qualities that one develops because of bhakti and devotion, that will give you different results. And so-called good qualities that arises just from mode of goodness or anything like that, that will lead you to different direction. Many times we see many qualities explained here. The great politicians, they adopt all these qualities. But in spite of all these qualities, they are not glorified in the Vedic literature so much. So that's why Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur Prabhupada is warning. Don't think these good qualities are everything if we are not surrendered to Krishna. Here he has pointed the 17th quality, mat sarana. Or Krishnaika Saranam. So that is the first quality. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravartipad and Madhurja Kadambini, he is explaining that don't think when you see all these good qualities, they are great devotees or great personalities, not necessarily. Sometimes there could be great devotee, but not exhibiting these qualities also. Yes, you will not understand. The great devotee, you can be very angry. What kind of devotee is becoming angry? Very difficult to. That he is saying common people cannot distinguish. There will be great devotee, great personality, become very angry. Sometimes he behaves in such a very greedy person. Sometimes he behaves in such a looks like envious. It may look like that, but in spite of that, he could be a great devotee also. That's why Srila Vishwanath Chakravartipad was saying, this needs only very expert personalities, and they can distinguish by seeing the behavior. It is not so easy. By seeing the behavior, you understand who is good devotee, who is not good devotee. So what they will consider, the expert people, they consider not so much how he is behaving normally, abnormally, but they consider how much he is attached to Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. On that basis, they consider the good qualities or great qualities, not so much they got fixed how all these other 24 qualities are there, or 25 qualities are there. Their main quality, the main thing to consider is how much Krishna Kasaranam he is. So that's the Prabhupada. He has first cleared these things by quoting Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada about these 28 qualities. The next is Kripalu. The devotee cannot tolerate seeing the world merged in ignorance and suffering the whiplashes of Maya. Therefore, he busily engages in distributing Krishna consciousness and is called Kripalu or merciful. So what is real Kripa? What is real mercy? Just like in India, Ramakrishna Society, Bharat Seva Sangha, there are so many societies. They are considered as doing very merciful activities, social welfare activities. So much so, the people in India, when you go to preach, they say, oh, what ISKCON is doing? Let's see, Ramakrishna Mission doing this, Bharat Seva Sangha doing this. What ISKCON is doing? And only Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And having nice prasad, no? Paneer Sabji. So they don't recognize what ISKCON is doing. But they see Ramakrishna Mission, the school, college, hospital, they go for flood relief, and they can see that. So they think that is very kripalu. They are very merciful. They don't see what ISKCON is doing. But actually, we are preaching Krishna consciousness. As Prabhupada has given, or I have heard from somewhere, I don't want to say Prabhupada has said, but this morning we heard somewhere somebody saying that Prabhupada say in my name they say like this. But this is a good thing. So just like the example they give, or I tell in my lecture, there is one very rich man's son. He has become loafer or hippie. Loafer, what is used in English? Loafer?
Loafer is good.
Loafer, okay. Loafer or hippie like that. And just roaming around in Delhi station, Delhi railway station. And one person will go, oh, he's a son of a rich man. He's suffering like this. Then he'll be very merciful to him. Then he'll help him. By giving a top cup of tea, some bread, some nice things to eat, he did some kripa, some mercy, some help to that person. Then another man will come, oh, such a rich man's son, he's wearing this torn cloth, no place to stay. Then he'll buy nice cloth, nice food, something like that. And he did some also, some kripa, mercy. Then another person will come, then he'll think, wow, he's a man. He's a son of such a rich man, suffering like this. And he'll explain to him, who are you, how you have so much money, why are you suffering here. Then he'll take him back to his house. Of course, when he's taking him back to his house, he'll feed him on the way also, he'll not keep him starving. Keep him back to his house. So who is doing real mercy? So the real mercy is doing that person who takes him back to his father. But ordinary people, they don't understand that what ISKCON is doing. ISKCON is trying to take people back to their real father. And people, they want to see that how others are so much school, college, hospital, food relief, activities. And Prabhupada giving an example. You may see these people are doing so many things and we are not, as if we are not doing anything. But why are so great? Prabhupada giving an example of a court. In a court, there are the peskars. Peskars mean the clerks, they write. They'll be writing, whole day writing. And end of the month, they get 2,000 rupees. And the judge, what he's doing? Whole day just sitting there, not doing anything, simply sitting and listening. And end of the month, how much he gets? He gets 10,000 rupees. So you can say, oh, he's working so hard, why get 2,000? He's just sitting whole day. He's getting 10,000. So devotees are like that. Externally, you may not see what they are doing, what is their contribution to the society. But they are real kripalu. Devotees are real kripalu. What is their kripa? What is their mercy? They feel very pain. How the people are suffering. One kind of suffering they see. Janma mrtu jarabyadi dukkha dasana darsanam. That is one kind of pain. Okay, for janma mrtu jarabyadi, so many adjustments are there, material adjustments are there, though there is nothing to solve the problem of death or old age. But the devotees, they become kripalu to see another great suffering of the living entities. On top of janma, mrityu, jara, vyadhi, there is great suffering of the living entities. That is what devotees feel very pain. Not only to see Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadhi, because Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadhi also the sufferings comes from ignorance. Though Bhagavad Gita Krishna explaining, this is knowledge to understand the real problem of life, Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadhi. But same time Krishna also explaining that na mujjati, that person who understand about death, just change of body, he never gets bewildered. So the real suffering of the people, the devotee thing, that these living entities, the deprived of enjoyment that they would derive by serving Krishna. So that is the real meaning of kripalu. And devotee, they cannot tolerate all these living entities, they are deprived of that pleasure they derive by serving Krishna. So that is what makes them their mercy. That is the speciality of their mercy. So in this way, they are kripalu. The kripa of ordinary people and kripa of devotees is a big difference. Then akritadroha. And akritadroha, Prabhupada explaining, if someone is offensive towards a devotee does not become offensive in return. Indeed, he never acts against the interest of any living entity. So it is very easy to give lecture sitting on Vyasasan. Somebody will say something, do some harm to you, you don't react to him. This big austerity to restrain, you know. Somebody speaks something to you, if you don't retaliate, you think you are defeated. I am not less than him, why should I spare him? You think you are defeated, you become low, so you have to speak something on top of him. So, this is a great austerity. Akritadroha. That even if somebody does some harm to you, you don't react to it. So this quality we see in Prabhupada, how much tolerant he was, how much he was tolerating. What to speak of tolerating from the enemies? Prabhupada has to tolerate from his own people. This akritadroha is such a great quality that Prabhupada, of course, Prabhupada being a pure devotee, he has all these 28 qualities. If you compare to each and every quality with Prabhupada's life, then we will understand everything very vivid to us, very obvious to us. How these qualities, so Prabhupada are endowed with all these qualities. That somebody behave with you in an offensive way or not in a decent way, immediately we react. We feel very painful within our heart. Oh, he's talking to me like this. He's not behaving me properly. Just imagine, at the beginning of our Hare Krishna movement, how the devotees are behaving with Srila Prabhupada. I have somewhere written that forget about somebody intentionally offending you. Unintentionally, somebody behaves you in an indecent way. That itself gives you pain. Oh, he's behaving me like this. And what Prabhupada is tolerating? That I have had in initial days, we did not have so much facilities. There's one toilet. And everybody stand in line. Then Prabhupada will go, and all these people say, you stand in line also. Prabhupada will stand in line.
Mukunda Maharaj told me, he even cut in front of Prabhupada. I'll be just a minute, Swami, and cut in front of Shiva Prabhupada. To this day, he kicks his head.
This is the real akritadroha. He's not disturbed with that. Another thing also somebody told, Mukunda Maharaj was telling, Mukunda Maharaj was driving Srila Prabhupada. Then Prabhupada bite an apple, gave to Mukunda Maharaj. And Mukunda Maharaj bite and gave to Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada has to tolerate all these things. One has to be really transcendental. No. We will not tolerate, we will become very angry. You stupid don't know how to behave. No. It's tolerant. So sometimes, see, I think very seriously that Prabhupada came to West And he established Krishna consciousness, he preached Krishna consciousness, he gave the basic philosophy of Krishna consciousness. After Srila Prabhupada, maybe many, many big preachers are coming. Big speakers are coming, many gurus are coming from India, from Gaudiya Math. We cannot say that somebody will not come, he will speak many more things Prabhupada has spoken. Could be, because Shastra so much. So many can come and elaborate so many things. Nobody can defy that. Many people can come and speak many more things, many bigger things, many sweet things, many palatable things. They can make many more disciples, many more preaching. But what they will not go through, that's what Srila Prabhupada has gone through like this. Isn't it? Any other Acharya Guru will come, many people are already waiting there to receive, well-behaved, this, that. But they will not go through what Prabhupada has gone through. So that will be the unique record. And Prabhupada's contribution to the world. All other preachers will come, but they don't have to go through this kind of behavior to receive. So that is the unique contribution of Srila Prabhupada to this earthly planet. Even if after Srila Prabhupada, so many big preachers will come, thousands of disciples will make, that is a different topic. But they will not go through of these qualities to manifest, to remember for his followers. That Srila Prabhupada has really implemented all the qualities, that is the quality that has brought ISKCON so big. I tell you, it is not only ISKCON's philosophy has made ISKCON so big. It's Prabhupada's all these qualities has attracted. I remember once Atmata Prabhupada was telling, when he joined ISKCON, on how dirty he was, how his mouth was smelling bad, this, that. He went to speak to Prabhupada. Okay, he's an Indian boy. It's American when hippies come also. And initial time we see, now we are very neat, clean. If somebody comes, oh, he's not clean. We say like this. But Prabhupada's time, anybody are coming. They're like a family member. No? This is the tolerance. How to tolerate things like this. And that is the reason why Prabhupada could establish this Hare Krishna movement. Only philosophy would not establish the Hare Krishna movement. Philosophy is there, books are there, but Hare Krishna movement was not there. His pure devotee's qualities, and through these qualities, he established. And of course, as Prabhupada is very much against karmi and jnanis, then he has continued. How the karmis, their kritadraha, their great offenders, to themselves and to public also. Because they are preaching, everybody, we are God. You are God, I am God, everybody God. That's their Krita Draha. Then point three, Titikshu. Titikshu, a devotee forgives and forgets any offense against himself. A Vaishnava personally detached from his material body, which is made of pus, stool, blood, and so on. Therefore, the devotee is able to overlook the obnoxious behavior he sometimes meets in the course of preaching work and always deals with people as perfect gentlemen. How the devotees, they behave, how they tolerate, they're not envy. That's like fifth point mentioned here. Anabhadhyatma, a devotee knows that the material world is a temporary phantasmagoria, and therefore he does not envy anyone in any material situation. Actually, all these things you can adopt only if you become a devotee. Then all these things are automatically adjusted. Very easily you can achieve these things. And here explaining anabhadhyatma, the Prabhupada is saying that devotee, they are not envy of anyone else. We should not become envious. That's why Bhagavatam is saying, who can understand Bhagavatam? What is that second verse?
Nirmatsara.
Matha, what is Bhagavatam?
Nirmatsara.
Starts from?
Projita
Kaita. Dharma Prajita Kaita Vatra Parama Nimascharanang Satam. Devotees can understand Bhagavatam Nimascharanang. They're non-envious. Krishna Bhagavad Gita also saying, you can understand this thing because anasuyave, You have no asuya. You have no enviousness. But the point is, it's very difficult to become non-envious. The most difficult part of our life is to become non-envious. Kama, krodha, lobha, moha, madha, mahasarya. Out of 6 enemies, 5 things you can use in Krishna service and you can overcome. But enviousness you can't use in Krishna service. That you can't use in Krishna service. Kama, krodha, lobha, moha, madha you can use in Krishna service. But this is a great obstacle. And great obstacle because this enviousness is the basis of the whole material existence. We come here because of enviousness. Prabhupada saying this enviousness started within our heart, all the way from spiritual world, from Krishna. We become envious of Krishna. We could not tolerate Krishna. Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj is telling, how can we tolerate Krishna? Krishna is so attractive, so beautiful. You go to Golok Vrindavan, you see the millions of most beautiful gopis. And they are so beautiful, Prabhupada explaining that in this earthly planet there are many, many beautiful ladies. The most beautiful lady who is known as Miss Universe. If you compare, Prabhupada is saying, if you compare to her beauty, to the beauty of heavenly ladies of heavenly planets, the most beautiful lady on earthly planet, that Miss Universe will look like a frog. No? She will look like a frog if you compare to heavenly planets, ladies. And the ladies in Vaikuntha, they are much more beautiful than the lady of heavenly planets. All the Lakshmis are very beautiful. And the gopis of Golok Vrindavan, millions times more beautiful than all these Lakshmis. Just imagine, one such lady will appear on the planet, what will happen to people? They will all faint, cannot digest. And Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj is telling, imagine, such millions of gopis, beautiful gopis, and one boy standing there. And they are all looking at him, you know, whether blinking their eyes. And who will not become envious of him? Who will not become envious of him? Just imagine. It is so difficult to resist to not to be, you know. In the material world, if somebody has a good wife, good house, neighborhood is born. And Krishna itself is so difficult, it's not so easy to go back to Godhead. We can resist a little bit the growth of others. And how can we resist that? Just imagine how much surrender is necessary to go back to Godhead that we can tolerate. And the Krishna is so nicely served. You will be just watching. That things. Very difficult. So because the whole enjoyment of this material world arises from enviousness. The interesting part of our enjoyment is that we don't enjoy how much more we get. That is people that think, I get then I enjoy, but that is not true. I don't get, my enjoyment doesn't depend how much I get. My enjoyment depends how much less you are getting. That is my yes, you analyze. I get $1 million, I will not be happy if you get $2 million. Doesn't matter. How many millions? If you analyze, nobody becomes happy by getting things. We get happiness how less others are to see that. So in this regard, a little small story I have told before, Badrinath Prabhu must have remembered that. But I'll tell one small story. You will understand the importance of enviousness in your life, how the integral part of our life to be envious, so that enviousness, there is no enjoyment in your life. There is one villager, he is a tantric. He went to do some betal sadhana in the forest. Betal means some ghostly entities. So by his severe austerity of this tantric, the village man, the betal was very happy. He appeared in front of him. Oh, I am very happy with you. I want to give you some boon. What boon you want? And this man said, please bless me that whatever I want, I will get it. Then Betal was very happy. Said, Tathastu, whatever you want, you will get it. But whatever you get, your neighbor will get double than you. But this man, by hearing the first sentence, whatever you want, you will get, he has so much ecstasy. The second line he did not hear so much. Hardly near, whatever you get, you will be happy. And very happily he went to his village. In village, in India, for a villager, in whole life, they will struggle to build a nice building. In whole life, before they die, they could build a house, they think my human life is successful. Yes, that is what they think. So this man went to village. So village, everybody straw house. He went inside the house and is meditating. Oh, Betal, let me have a two-story building. So immediately he had a two-story building. So he was happy, but he was not really happy because, you see, the real happiness does not come in how much you get. Real happiness comes how much you show others that you have got this much. Isn't it? Some lady will decorate herself very nicely, nice ornaments, nice jewelry, and sitting inside the house. She will become happy with that. She will go out to see how beautiful I am. Or you buy a nice car, you will not be happy until unless you show to your friends to see how nice car I have. See, the things comes, not how much you possess, how by showing your things. I remember in our childhood times, within India, we don't just go for shopping. Any new dress come, our parents will buy as many as a new dress and use for 1 month, then put in the garage. Doesn't happen like that. In India, some Saraswati Puja, Ganesh Puja, Durga Puja, we get one set of dress. Now there's no dress we have. And throughout our year, we have to run with that. So the day, Ganesh Puja, we put a pant shirt. Immediately, I remember, I would be so enthusiastic to go out to show to my friend, just see my pants and then real enjoyment comes. Not how much you get. Because that comes from comparing. I have the better than you. Then the real enjoyment comes. I have better than you. Otherwise no enjoyment comes. Right? Whatever nice dress you have, it is not better than somebody else. You don't enjoy so much. So this man, he thought, oh, now I have two-story building. So all the villagers have straw house. In the village, everybody has straw house. If you get a two-story building, it's a great pleasure. Just imagine Manhattan, somebody has two-story building. What pleasure will derive in Manhattan two-story building? No enjoyment for him. But for this person, every straw house, he went out of his house, thinking every straw house, I have two-story building. And he saw his neighborhood four-story building. So what to speak of happiness, he has burning. Ah, he has four-story building. He is not happy at all. He has four-story building. Then he went inside, let me have also four-story building. He got a four-story building, neighborhood eight-story building. See, in this way, he is asking that, Betal, give me this, give me that. So more and more he is getting. And more he gets, more is burning. Because neighborhood gets double. So no way he could make himself happy. Though he possessed so much things, always he was unhappy with the neighborhood getting everything double. Then one day he made a plan how to become happy. Then he went inside the room, then he meditated. Oh my dear Betal, if you're really happy with me, then you please bless me. My one eye will become blind. So his one eye become blind. Then he went outside, then he saw his neighborhood. Two eyes are blind. Even double than that. Two eyes are blind. So now he's very happy. The point is, lost one eye, no problem. Neighbor got quite blind. He got double. And what he gets. So this is what the people, the happiness arises from. Each of us case like that. We don't become happy how great I am becoming. Is not a real source of our happiness in this material world. More elaborately in this purport, this topic has been explained. You go through any quality, every quality will end up with this quality, enviousness. That's why Krishna Kasranam is very important. Why it says, until unless we are Krishna Kasranam, all other qualities are useless. But this Krishna Kasranam, the basis of this Krishna Kasranam is to become free from enviousness. If that quality is gone, all other quality will automatically come. All other things automatically will manifest. So that's why for Vaishnavas, it's very, very important. But same time, if any time you'll try to overcome this quality, you'll understand how difficult it is. Very, very difficult. to not to be envious, somebody growing, that you are not becoming like him is very difficult. But how you become free from non-enviousness to Krishna, Acharya is saying, is easiest way to become free from envious from Krishna is that suppose your son become a big man, you don't become envious, right? Your country become very great, you don't become envious. Why? Because you think it's my country, it's my son, it's my daughter. In the same way, all you have to do, you take Krishna, my Krishna. Once you take my Krishna, there is no enviousness. So that is a devotee, they develop madhyata bhav. Krishna, you are mine. If Krishna is mine, he's more beautiful and millions of gopis looking at him. Oh, very nice. You enjoy. Right? If your son marry a good girl, you become very happy. Oh, my son got a good wife. You don't become envious. Simplest way is just make Krishna as yours. Madhyata bhav, you are mine. In this way, more Krishna gets, we enjoy more. More Krishna gets, we enjoy more. So this is a very special thing that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given to us. Before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Bhagavan, you are mine, this concept was not given. Before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, devotion was preached, bhakti yoga was preached, you do bhakti, Krishna, I am yours, you do bhakti, please maintain me, please take care of me, please give me this, give me that, you are so great, I am so small, I am fully surrendered to you. Please give me, maintain me. What can I do for you? I am so small, you do everything for me. This was bhakti. I mean, very small. No, you do everything for me. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu introduced that no, you are mine, I have to do everything for you. The very special way that Mahaprabhu introduces bhakti, and that is the best way that we can gradually become free from this enviousness. Thank you all so much. I enjoy the company of devotees of Radha Giridhari temple. So I came here tomorrow, I am leaving. Before I leave, I would like to invite all of you, please come to Siddha Mayapur. Now big temple construction has started. Pilings going on 3,800 pilings. Day and night, banging. 10 kilometers far, people can hear that. But as I have seen in America, when they repair road, they write, today's suffering is tomorrow's pleasure, not to pacify the travelers. So we have to go through that, and we hope very soon, within 5 years, they say 3 years, the skeleton structure part will be completed. Within 5 to 7 years, they can complete temple to certain level, we can move the deity inside, and some works will continue. So please pray, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Srila Prabhupada, so this temple construction can go on smoothly, so thus we can fulfill the desire of Srila Prabhupada and all other previous acharyas. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Advaita Bhakta Vrinda ki, Nitai Gaur Sitanatma Anandi.